We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome back to the Fantasy Football Report. I'm your host, Blair Andrews, as always, with my co-host, Hassan Rahim. How's it going, Hassan?
Can't really complain, Blair. It's just the two of us here. The last time it was just us, we drafted a resurrection team. Before we even start the show, I remember we were receiving some flack for that team. and I want to vindicate everyone who was dogging on us because I think we're not doing particularly well. if I recall, do you mind pulling up the score there?
Yeah, hold on a sec.
Yeah,
gotta sign in.
Yeah, but while we wait for Blair to actually pick up the most, figure out where we're at in this resurrection draft, I will say that we're here to talk CJ Stroud. I mean, look, what he did today was out of pocket. He completed 30 of 42 passes for 470 yards and 5 touchdowns. The Texans' 39-37 win over the Bucks. Stroud, he put on a show for nearly 4 quarters. He picked apart the Bucks defense at every turn with deep throws, outside, middle, everywhere in between. I have major regrets not martingaling the Tank Dell overs I had from last week. Just because when you're watching him and just watching him play, like, it's clear that he's kind of elevated himself as like a top tier dynasty quarterback. I know in like mock drafts for dynasty, in Superflex particularly, he was going one pick ahead or right around where Tua was going. Mm-hmm. But I do want to talk a little bit about that, that final drive with under a minute left on the clock. He completed all 5 of his pass attempts. We're not talking about the spike, but yeah, 75 yards in that and a walk-off touchdown to Tank Dell, right? That final drive gave Stroud the NFL record for passing yards in a game by a rookie, and it ties in with 4 other quarterbacks for the single-game touchdown record among rookies. So just to bring it back home, Blair, why didn't we draft CJ Stroud on our resurrection team? What were we doing with our lives?
Yeah, what were we doing with our lives? I mean, to be fair, this team is currently in second place in our
We're league. In second place?
In second place. We were in first place, but it looks like We were in first until this week. And then it looks
can
like
you, can you pull up the squad again just for everybody who's watching this on the stream?
Yeah.
So we can recap the listeners as well. See. Just because this is ridiculous. I thought we were in ninth.
No, we're doing pretty good.
I wish we'd advance. That would be pretty sick.
I know. Well, it's a Lamar Jackson, Mark Andrews team, so not the greatest today, but we did get some good points from.
Yeah, are you sharing your screen? Because I can't see it.
Yeah, not yet. Hold on.
I don't even remember it. The only thing I remember from that stream was us talking about Jerry Jeudy's potential trade and how it might actually help us out if he goes to like the Carolina Panthers. And the trade deadline, as we discussed last week, it came to pass. Jerry Jeudy is still a Bronco, and we passed on CJ Stroud. Sorry for the confusion there to the listeners, though, because we are going to talk about Stroud in a second. I am very, very excited to hear about our this resurrection team that I actually thought was dead, but we must be running very pure.
Here we go. This is the league. There's the team.
Look at this.
Jackson.
Javonte Williams, Tyler Allgeier.
Yeah.
Kenneth Gainwell. Oh, yeah. Remember when Kenny Gainwell was a thing?
Yeah. 28 points. A.J. Brown is really carrying this team.
A.J. Brown is carrying us.
Yeah, man, we got some points from Strong.
What is up with this Devon? Like okay, so.
And Addison was a good pick because this was right after Jefferson got hurt, I think. Although
just after Jefferson got hurt?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, we have QJ. For all of those who don't know, Josh Palmer went on injured reserve. So that means that's going to be out for the next 4 weeks. We really need QJ to step up. We have Chigo Conquo. Yeah. We have Donald Parham, but Mark Andrews. So again, why do we pick? So realistically, tomorrow, here's what I'm expecting is tomorrow we're going to see just this wide range of sports writers all talking about how they preferred Stroud to Bryce Young. So I really wanted to get your take here. Are we not advancing? I can't tell.
We are, yeah.
We are, okay. Well, we need this to hold somehow.
We were in first before, but this guy got 10 points more than us this week. So you can't see where my mouse is, probably, can you?
Here's our single bullet, though. But yeah, so let's talk about why didn't we take CJ Stroud? Or because he was tearing up the league the first 4 weeks. So why did we miss on him here? Or did we just get sniped? I don't remember the board anymore. But
show his team. I want
to. Yeah.
And
for you guys.
ETN is pretty big.
ETN, Derrick Henry, Joe Mixon, Kareem Hunt, Rico Dowdle, Damian Harris are his running backs, Keenan Allen, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Terry McLaurin, Elijah Moore, Josh Downs, Brandon Cooks, Odell Beckham Jr., Darius Marshall, Evan Ingram, and Luke Musgrave. Who are his quarterbacks?
Quarterback, Trevor Lawrence, Deshaun Watson.
Deshaun Watson.
So he's got the Jaguars stack.
That's a pretty good team. I mean, this goes back to what we're talking about with Ben about Josh Downs. Luke Musgrave had a touchdown today as well. That's actually pretty impressive, despite it being a fairly RB heavy team. He did fairly well in terms of playing the best plays at wide receiver.
I do think long term, I'd like our team a little bit better, and I feel good about the squad we have. I mean, obviously, there's a reason we drafted these guys.
Yeah. We were kind of forced into some of these guys like Judy. And we have a blurb on him later. So, it's actually kind of good because we have we actually have a bunch of these guys on our show sheet. Yeah. But I really do want to we've been discussing this entire Stroud Young thing over the course of the season, and I think it really does come to a head today, right? If only because in comparison, Bryce Young completes 24 of 39 passes for 173 yards, one touchdown, and three interceptions in the Panthers' 27-13 week 9 loss to the Colts. This Colts defense isn't particularly great, right? And Young really looked like he was the worst quarterback in this class. Despite being the first, he was brutal in the first half. He threw only three passes that were more than 5 yards on the field. His first two interceptions were both pick sixes to the same defender. These are throws that he was flat-footed on. I'm not much of a film grinder, but he just didn't look like he knew what he was doing, right?
Yeah.
And I think next week we see him get back a little bit on track because he plays against the Bears. But the dichotomy between these two quarterbacks, the gulf between them, in my opinion, cannot be wider right now, right? We've got comments in the chat saying it's over. Bryce Young is an NFL bust. I'm sorry to have to write it out for this year and next year. He did not massively improve. They do have to draft another QB. Yeah, the interesting thing is that they did turn over play calling to a new OC as well. So I really wanted to get your take, Blair. Where are you ranking Stroud in Dynasty? And where are you taking Bryce Young?
That's a good question. In Dynasty,
I'm gonna have to pull up our ranks.
If you were to redraft the rookie class, I think obviously you'd have Stroud going number one overall ahead of even the receivers.
Bijan?
Yeah, ahead of Bijan. I don't know. That's close.
In Superflex, I think you're probably taking Stroud.
Yeah. In Superflex, you can definitely make an argument for Stroud. In super, I mean, in non-Superflex, obviously, you wouldn't do that. But yeah, and then I think you'd have, you know, obviously, Richardson is hurt, so that's tough. But I think you'd have him next. But would you have Young? Would you want to take Young ahead of Will Levis now that we've seen him put up?
So that's the thing, right? Like we're bringing him in. All right, so I'm actually looking at our rookie rankings right now. We had Bijan ranked first, then Jahmyr Gibbs, then JSN, then Richardson, and we had Young just ranked over Stroud in the same tier, right?
Yeah.
So I think if you were to do this again, you're definitely putting Stroud in tier one alongside Bijan, right? Stroud moves from tier three to tier one.
Yeah.
Right? And I think that that little, like, that's like the biggest shift. I mean, the big issue, or at least to me, is we don't know, like, Richardson could be in tier one. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, he could have been here. He could have been there, right? And that's like the issue is that, like, I think I might rank Bryce Young behind Tyson Bagent Dynasty. In all honesty, I mean, so we should go back to kind of where we were talking about this in rookie drafts is in Superflex, I'm always needy at quarterbacks. So I'm always prone to move up quarterbacks in Superflex.
Yeah.
I always exit the startups not well, right? Like it's a disaster when you're looking at my quarterbacks. It's truly sadness.
Go ahead.
No, I was just gonna say is it's I think knowing like I would be taking man, so like I think the thing is Bryce Young really plummets, right? Like I think in terms of and I'm gonna when I'm talking super flex here, I'm talking about our and the settings I'm typically talking about is what we have in the triflex is I think you'd want to take him, man. Like he just—I don't know where you take Bryce Young. Like I don't. I genuinely don't think you can take him where you like. I think I would be happy paying what I paid for Will Levis for Bryce Young.
Yeah.
In Superflex, but that's like a cheap two. Like that's a mid second, which in Superflex, if you play a lot of Superflex Dynasty or even Superflex Redraft, it. It's the dredges at that point.
So if you're thinking about a dynasty startup or trading in dynasty, would you have Bryce Young ahead of guys like, I don't know, where would you have him in relation to Jordan Love, for instance?
Oh, my God. I think I'm more than happy to take Bryce Young earlier than Love, if only because I think Young gets another year. I do think the Packers need to move on from Love, but they might have won too many games. But I can see them drafting another quarterback early next year. That makes sense, right? Yeah, I mean, like all the
behind Howell, and I think that's definitely right. After
that's
Howell,
great. Sure. I think all these. Like, I think Howell goes into a pretty. He goes up pretty high, but we're not. I mean, we were supposed to be discussing CJ Stroud, right? so the question is: so we've already got him as QB6 right now, right? So it's Hurt and Superflex. So it's Hurts, Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, Justin Herbert, Tua Tagovailoa, and then Stroud. And then it's Joe Burrow, and then it's Trevor Lawrence, and he's a first-round pick. So I agree with this 100%, right?
See, I am thinking...
I'm thinking you take Stroud earlier than Herbert and Tagovailoa, but I also think Lamar Jackson's too low.
Yeah, that could be... If you want to pull this up for all the viewers,
I just dropped the link here in the chat. If you want to pull up our grid so people can see what we're talking about.
Let me see.
Yeah, sorry, I'm making all the screen share fun stuff, but
yeah, that's of course I'm not in on this.
But yeah, it's just. But yeah, just to keep the conversation moving is. The thing is what's impressive to me at least is that Stroud is doing this with Dalton Schultz as the leading receiver, Tank Dell and Nico Collins, who, I mean, like, I'll be honest, like I think the Texans really need to get an alpha, like a true alpha wide receiver, right?
Yeah.
These guys are fine bit pieces, but could you imagine him with a true blue alpha? Like, the big issue that I'm going to have with Stroud next season is, In terms of best ball, is he's going to go too dang early for us. I don't know how he's going to go outside of the window.
Right. So here are the dynasty rankings. So far, these are using Sean's and Curtis's from the month of October. So Curtis's are almost a month old at this point, but and Sean's are about 2 weeks. So these are not updated as frequently in season. So take that, you know, take that into account.
Pull up a draft grade because I think that's the most interesting one to me, at least just from a stark visual standpoint.
Right.
Right.
Right. So for this, you've got Hurts, Mahomes, Allen, 1, 2, 3. Do you move Stroud up above? Yeah, I think you definitely can take him ahead of Herbert and Tua.
I think Herbert's too high.
Does he join the tier of the of those top three guys where you take him maybe ahead of any other position, ahead of Chase and Jefferson?
Ah, man, this all comes down to how you build your roster, right? Like, again, like I said, like the way that I build my Superflex rosters is I'll probably take a quarter. Like, so I've done some research on this, especially for like Scott Fishbowl, and I found that it's just easier to just make your pit stop, like treat quarterback. If you're taking a lead quarterback in Superflex, take two and treat it like a pit stop, right? Mm-hmm. Because then when you think about what your 2v2 is it's like CJ Stroud and Anthony Richardson, for example, right? Versus Justin Jefferson and then Brock Purdy as your quarterback, right?
Yeah.
And I think that that's a pretty steep thing, is a pretty steep step down, because then you can walk off with guys like JSN, Jordan Addison, T. Higgins, Drake London, Puka Nacua, DK Metcalf, right? Christian Watson, DJ Moore. Like, you can walk away with like usable productivity there. Even mm-hmm. Jahmyr Gibbs, right? Yeah. But then if the more you wait and you get pressured and you're taking these like not particularly great, kind of shaky-ish NFL talents as your quarterbacks 1 and 2 in high draft capital positions, which I don't think you really want to, right? Because then look at all the guys who you're going to be missing out on. You miss out on guys like Zay Flowers, George Pickens, QJ, Ramondre, you know, James Cook, and then obviously all the tight ends, right? Like you've got guys like Pitzer going around there, right? Deion, like just guys who you really want to fill out on your back end of your roster, your wide receivers, 2, 3, flex, running backs, right? Like, and then you get those, like the difference between an elite quarterback and these mid guys is just nuts. Like right now, you know, like I would argue Herbert's too high. Tagovailoa also probably needs to come back. So I probably push CJ Stroud and Joe Burrow up, and then Lamar Jackson also gets moved up, and Trevor Lawrence gets moved, like stays where he is.
Yeah. And Bryce Young here, obviously these are all you know, these are a couple weeks old at least, but I mean, you know, he hasn't done anything, I think, to really justify this kind of price lately. I think you probably move him down.
Yeah, like Sam Howell got to move up, right? I think you move Sam Howell up ahead of. So Dak Prescott's also too low, unfortunately, right? Like you got to drop Brock Purdy. You got to drop Deshaun. You got to drop Goff. You got to move up Dak after today's, you know, I mean, just today's performance is kind of indicative of what he's good at.
Yeah, the last few weeks he's been better. Than what we've seen earlier in the
better
season.
Than what
so
we've
I
seen.
Think
right,
you, can, but, you can make a case to move him up a little bit, I think.
Yeah, but I don't think Jordan Love makes it. Yeah, it's, our comment sections are already talking about how poor Kenny Pickett is. Yeah, you know, Stroud already has more career touchdowns than Pickett. Yeah, exactly. Right, and then you see who you're getting into is just guys whose like futures are uncertain, guys like Kirk Cousins. Like, you know, I've heard, you know, or at least reading. So probably, yeah, we're going to be getting into, you know, you're getting into like interesting territory there with Cousins, because Cousins becomes a real kind of Mason-Dixon line, I guess, of like where you, like what becomes of him in the future. I think he gets another contract for better or for worse. I don't know if it's going to be the Vikings, but I know some team is going to take him who's won too many games.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. He's a quarterback who's shown that he can produce in the NFL. So He'll get another contract for sure.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
One guy we could talk about who's probably not anywhere close on these rankings, but somebody I really want to get your thoughts on is not a guy we've necessarily been pounding the table for or anything, but he does fit the road of his mindset in one way, and that's Keaton Mitchell, 21-year-old rookie running back who today had 138 yards for the Ravens on only 9 carries. So, you know, even in a game where Gus Edwards averages 10 yards a carry and scores 2 touchdowns, he might have also lost his job. Or am I reading too much into this?
All right. So full transparency, I had an under on Gus Edwards today. It was under 51.5 rushing yards. It closed, I think, 57.5. So that's on me for betting the opening line and getting really excited. Because the Seahawks are actually pretty good against the run. Gus Edwards had 5 carries for 52 yards, so I lost, and 2 touchdowns. He had 1 42-yard back-breaking carry, and that's where I lost, right?
Yeah.
That was literally where I lost. Gus Edwards before that had the – I had the pleasure of playing against Gus Edwards in several must-win games, and he put up the most frustrating performance today against me across multiple leagues. Right. And then Mitchell Keaton shows up. And yeah, like this is kind of like this is your guy, man. I mean, he shows up and is like a spark plug, dude. Like, I mean, yeah, it was backups, but like backups. I mean, this is kind of where they make their bones, because it's not like he showed everything that we thought he could be, like just incredible burst, just like a dual threat. Like, I don't know, man. What are your thoughts on Mitchell?
Well, I loved what I saw. I think that it was really, it tells us a lot that at the end of the game, like in the fourth quarter, when they took Lamar out, they took all their starters out. It was Justice Hill getting all those carries, not Mitchell, right? They took Mitchell out at that point too, as if to say, we got to keep this guy fresh. We're going to be using him a lot more in the future. So I think, when you watch him run and the kind of breakaway speed and stuff, it's hard to get excited about Gus Edwards. And you're even forgetting you even had J.K. Dobbins on your fantasy teams. Who is that guy?
Man, it's genuinely frustrating. One, today we got really game scripted. So you and I have a couple of Lamar Jackson and Mark Andrews stacks, right? And FFPC, it works out because Mark Andrews put together. These aren't the only teams where we have this stack. I have them on several personal redraft teams.
Yeah.
And it's really frustrating watching Lamar make all these, like part of the reason why running backs were so, so successful against the Seahawks' defense, who's actually been pretty solid against running backs, is that Lamar just makes this team, like, he actually puts the fear of God into defenders, like, when it comes down to it. You want them to feed Gus Edwards a rock because he's not particularly great. Like, there were several instances in today's game where you could tell that the defense was kind of caught flat-footed because they expected Lamar to have the ball as a keeper, but he was handing it off to Edwards. That was where that 42-yarder actually came from. the defender misread who had the football, and that was that. And that was me just sort of sitting there, you know, like, it's just an L. But like, you know, kudos to the Ravens team for identifying that, right? And then it's the same with Tyler Huntley, right? Like Huntley took over, yeah, and he's kind of got his, not like he doesn't have a similar skill set. He's not as fast, but like, again, you have to respect this team and what it does there. I do think that there we should see hopefully an expanded opportunity for Keaton Mitchell, right? Yeah. Justice Hill, they don't seem to be particularly enamored with. And like they seem to be fairly good. Yeah, there's a good question here in the chat. Like, do the Ravens just sit Justice Hill and give Keaton Mitchell a 50-50 timeshare? I don't think they're going to move that fast, but I do think we're going to see Keaton Mitchell get, like, start siphoning off Gary. So, Blair, my question to you really here is, like, is Justice Hill rosterable, right? And yeah. I guess, and when I'm talking about rosterable, I'm talking about like 20 team, like you know, 20 roster spot leagues, or who are you getting rid of to try and pick up Keaton Mitchell?
Oh, that's a good question. I do not think that Justice Hill is someone I would be holding on to at this point. It seems like they've got him purely in a backup role. You know, they've also
I don't know, man. 13, he had 13 carries today for 40 yards.
I know, but how many of those came in garbage time?
I mean, most of this game was garbage time. Like starting at the half, it was garbage, right?
That's true. But I mean, in the fourth quarter, like they took out Lamar Jackson pretty early in the fourth quarter.
As they should have, yeah.
I can't even remember what the score was at that point. I think
it was...
Or rather, they had 30. It was 30-3 going into the third quarter, and I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, they took him out into the fourth quarter. 30 points. Yeah,
and I'm pretty sure they took him. They took him out. Yeah, so I don't know if Jackson even played the fourth quarter at all.
No,
Mitchell had two carries in the fourth quarter, it looks like, and then Hill carried the rest of the time when they're just kind of, trying to chew up the clock. So he did get a lot of carries in this game, but I don't think they were meaningful. I think he's kind of there, he's their backup the way Huntley is the backup to Lamar Jackson. So, you know, obviously he can put up some fantasy points if they're going to be in game scripts like this, where he's getting 13 carries at the end of the game. I just think Mitchell coming on probably... his skill set overlaps with what Justice Hill does more. So I think it's a bigger problem for Hill than it is for Edwards, who you saw, even when Mitchell was playing well, they still gave Edwards the ball at the goal line, got him that second touchdown.
Yeah, here's a good take by Historical Anomalies. Ravens defense seems to be legit. They smoked the Lions at home too. Yeah, man. Like, we always thought kind of this defense was fairly legit, but it's impressive to see them rounding into form, especially against teams who are, I mean, honestly, pretty good. Right, like the Seahawks, like Geno Smith looked. He hasn't looked particularly great, but today he looked like the worst version of himself this season. You know, 13 completions on 28 pass attempts for 157 yards. Tyler Lockett, 8 targets, 3 receptions, 32 yards. DK Metcalf, 4 targets, 1 catch, 50. The only guy who really did anything was JSN, who caught 6 of his 7 targets for 63 yards. You know, he was just the lone bright spot in their offense. But again, I think most of this production again came in at garbage time, right?
That's right. Yeah.
So I mean, just from a box score scouting perspective, is like Blair and I actually had a conversation about this today on our teams. We actually faced this conundrum: was JSN? Do we start JSN this week or do we start QJ, knowing that Palmer's on IR? Right. And you said you wanted to go JSN. That hopefully has worked out. So I want to get your take. Like, do you think that, like, this is from a box score scouting perspective, we've seen JSN's opportunity sort of tick up. Do you think that he's set up for a big back half of the season, or is it just going to be more like, you know, kind of confusion? And also I wanted to get your take on Zach Charbonnet after talking him up all week. You know, Charbonnet only had 4 carries for 8 yards. So, you know, not getting the same kind of love, but also Kenneth Walker had 9 carries for 16 yards. So I wanted to get your take there on this, on the running backs as well.
Yeah, I mean, like it was said in the comments, the Ravens are a legit defense and tough to run against. And also, I think the game script obviously didn't set up well for either Walker or Charbonnet to have a big game. I'm definitely optimistic for JSN over the second half. I mean, a lot of this production did come in garbage time, but at the same time, you know, these are drives where Seattle's kind of desperate to try and put some points up. They're playing fast. JSN was open on almost every play. I mean, when you got a guy who's able to get open and earn these kinds of targets, even against a good defense like Baltimore, I think you have to use him more. So I'm pretty encouraged by this stat line, even though it wasn't great. Obviously, Seattle did not look good in this game. And just want to see their schedule coming up. They play Washington and then the Rams. So two
couple matchups, of get right games.
Yeah, two matchups that they can definitely put up some points in. So yeah, I'm looking forward to what JSN can do down the stretch. I mean, as far as, you know, whether we should have started him instead of Quentin Johnson, obviously he did not set a very high bar in this one, but at the same time, we haven't seen QJ clear even really low bars.
Yeah, but what was interesting, at least to me, and we don't talk about last week as much, but what was interesting to me is that the team did go out of their way to try to make it easier on him, right? Mm-hmm. Like, they were using him more in the middle of the field where he historically has succeeded in terms of where he was used in college.
Yeah.
And they did make it a little bit easier for him putting up against linebackers, right? Like, the Adam Thielen corollary exists here. Today was a very down day for Thielen, thanks to Bryce, you know, I mean, Bryce Young and all, but maybe Thielen, yeah, the season wears on, maybe just not the same. But I will say that, like, I would be interested to see what QJ does. I mean, this is it, man. Like, it really is kind of, the issue is, this is like the dream run out for us as QJ drafters, where we were taking him in the offseason, right? Like, he was going incredibly early, despite where Mike Williams and Keenan were going. Mike Williams has been gone for so long. Yeah. And then Bomber stepped up and QJ still was a non-entity. And now he's got four games.
Yeah.
Someone in the chat just asked, what the hell do I do with Davante Adams? The guy just can't get anything done. Brother, we're in the same boat. We have him on this on our resurrection best ball team. And, I have been starting him everywhere because I like the ceiling he offers us, the ceiling Davante Adams genuinely offers us is so high and so mouthwatering that it'd be very stupid of the Raiders to not figure out a way to like get him going again, right? Like, he is genuinely that guy that is a game-breaking talent. And in kind of as Cobra Kai says in the chat, he's more of a top 20 than a top 6. Unfortunately, how he's going to go with the Aiden O'Connell under center who looked fairly serviceable. But man, like, Davante, I've got him on a couple of kind of mature dynasty teams, and I just have been starting him, dude. Like, it's lost me the last 3 weeks, but it also won me the first 3 weeks, right? Like, I don't know what to say.
Yeah, it's interesting. And, I mean, mm-hmm. He's like, you know, he's having a rare down season in terms of his efficiency this year. He has still shown this ceiling, though, like in week 3 against Pittsburgh, putting up 42 PPR. So
yeah, he did it early in the year. I just don't know why they stopped going to him.
Right. It's not like you necessarily want to say he's, you know, fallen off a cliff. I mean, the efficiency obviously is a red flag, but it's not, I think there's probably more going on here than just, you know, he's an aging wide receiver. One thing that's kind of interesting is if you look, for instance, in our Stat Explorer at the pass location data, one thing you know,
you want to pull that up. You want to pull that up so everyone can see it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good idea.
I will say, while you're doing that, I will say Davante still did lead this team in targets 7 today. The big thing about the Giants is they didn't get anything going. Daniel Jones hurt again, potentially torn ACL. This feels like the beginning of the end for Daniel Jones, at least to me. But I will, like, what I will say is, because the Giants didn't get anything going, the Raiders were able to pretty much get Josh Jacobs going. And the issue is this offense isn't prolific enough to where your running back and your wide receiver are going to pop off, right? Like last week, again, against the Lions, that was like an absolute shellacking. And that was like Adams, 7 targets, again, led the team in targets, 1 catch for 11 yards, right?
Yeah.
Against the Bears, Adams actually did pretty well. 12 targets, 7 for 57. So, like, the thing is, we know touchdowns aren't sticky. It's just what is good to know is that Adams is going to continue getting these targets. And that's why I'm starting him all the time. I don't know about you guys, but, to me, targets are still the basic lifeblood of fantasy scoring, right? And, without that guy, the second you start seeing targets start to fall off for an aging wide receiver, that's when you know the team is giving up on him. But as Blair was mentioning, bring up the pass location data you were saying.
Yeah, so just looking at 2023, I mean, it's notable how basically all of his targets and receptions are coming on the left side, which is actually quite a bit different from even his usage last year, and especially his usage in Green Bay. See, 2020, he's used on both sides. Even in 2022, it's a little more even. So I think there maybe is something going on with the offensive scheme that is not necessarily playing to his strengths. I don't know how much to read into that exactly, but
it's just... Yeah, I mean, look at this, though, right? Like, he was getting some stuff on the right side in the middle of the field last year.
Yeah, last year, right? He had a lot more targets on the right side. Still not as many as when you look at when he was in Green Bay, where basically it's
kind of
used all over the field. So yeah, there may be something to that. Just the scheme does not fit his skill set. So hopefully with the coaching change, we'll see some of that correct itself. We'll see his targets come back up. I mean, you know, he obviously, you know, is getting the targets sometimes, but he also has a lot of games this season with 4 targets, 5 targets. So, you know, there are some issues here that go beyond just
that should
skill level.
That should be obvious given that they got rid of the head coach and the GM in the middle of the night, right?
Yeah, right.
When
there aren't issues.
In my head, I'm just imagining Mark Davis like blackout drunk at a Halloween party, just like, I'm going to just get rid of these guys, and just makes the call, and that's that. I don't imagine there being much thought beyond it. That like a blackout drunk Mark Davis is like, I have no idea that I want to see these guys ever again. Just get them out of my sight. Because but that's the thing, is that like, we don't know what's going to happen, and it's a shame that the Raiders didn't trade him. But that said, I don't know how they could have traded him given his contract. Cobra Kai says Garrett Wilson of the second rounder has been kind of meh, but no ceiling games. We were just discussing in the chat round 2 disappointments. I wouldn't say Garrett Wilson exactly a disappointment, given that Aaron Rodgers lasted 3 plays and that was that. I mean, I'm still impressed whenever Garrett Wilson gets you like more than 50 yards receiving. So yeah. I think to me that's like found money, really. Our Garrett Wilson stuff. I mean, he was dust the second Rodgers bit the dust. But I mean, like, he's kind of had a floor, man. Hasn't been that bad. He has no ceiling, like you said, though.
Right.
It's just such a shame.
Not even a wide receiver one. Oops,
that's not one. No wide receiver one.
You do see
no wide receiver one finishes.
Here's a better view. You see the. You can use this to kind of query a lot of stats. You see the target levels are still getting up there, I mean, especially
he's
like
the only one who's good.
Yeah.
Could you imagine this with like Aaron Rodgers though?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, the biggest issue for Devontae, historical anomaly says the biggest issue for Devontae is quarterback. Aiden O'Connell looked just as adequate as Jimmy. That is absolutely 100% correct. 100% correct, sir. It's like the offensive scheme. Like, they're trying to get Jacoby Myers in there. The issue is like, we need teams to really push the Raiders. They need to be in proper negative script, but not enough to where the entire offense falls apart, and then all you get are just airmailing airballs, right? Yeah. Like, this is like a pretty apt comment. Aiden O'Connell looked better than Bryce Young today. Yeah, man. And I'm gonna put this out to everybody who's listening. Please get us a copy of the S3 cognition test. We will take it on air.
Yeah,
I am not joking. I'm trying to get one. We have a very special guest in a couple of weeks that I'm going to try and get a copy for before he gets on the air with us. Blair, maybe we should start pushing.
Yeah, we gotta go.
This test was pushed as a reason, right? Like anyway, but we should move on because I did want to discuss a really interesting game. Included a guy who we love is Bijan Robinson, who had 11 rushes for 52 yards in the Falcons' loss to the Vikings. He also had one reception for 1 yard. Robinson was pretty much benched in the fourth quarter in favor of Tyler Allgeier, who had negative rushing yards until the final 5 minutes of the game. Allgeier ended with 12 carries, including a short touchdown in the team's second to last drive in the back in, like in this game. You know, Robinson isn't getting these green zone touches. Like, how is it that they draft this guy so early in the first round and this is what they're doing with him? Like, how? I was so close to bringing back Ben Gretsch and just having him on for this segment just so we could spend 20 minutes, like, again, dumping on Arthur Smith. But, like, this, like, personally, this game felt to me like Arthur Smith is deliberately trolling everybody. This game was served to them on a platter.
Yeah.
Right? The starting quarterback on the Vikings' side, whatever his name is, Jaren Hall, yeah. He exited with, you know, early with the concussion, and then Dobbs, who was traded to the team 5 days ago, doesn't know the playbook, doesn't know the offense, has to have the offensive coordinator transcribe what is happening to him on the sideline. He doesn't know the name of everyone on this team yet. Literally unpacked his bags. How is this guy gonna come in and run your other team off the football field?
Yeah.
But anyway, bizarro Bijan. What are you gonna do with this Bijan performance? Because this is really frustrating. It's frustrating.
It is definitely frustrating. I don't even know what we can add at this point to the Falcons conversation. I mean, in a game in which you're without Drake London, who should be your top receiver, and rather than getting, you know, your talented pass catching running back more involved or Pitts involved, you know, six targets to Kadarius Hodge, six to Jonnu Smith.
For Van Jefferson. Jonnu Smith had a 60-yard catch and run touchdown, dude.
Yeah,
Kadarius Hodge.
It didn't look bad.
The issue is this slavish.
No, I'm just saying Smith is a guy that we've actually liked for a long time. He was someone who's popped in various models we've had on the site before. But when you're comparing Jonnu Smith and Kyle Pitts, it's like, come on.
Yeah, I mean, we could like go back in and splice literally everything like Ben had said about like Jonnu Smith a couple of weeks ago in here. I mean, sorry, Kyle Pitts in here, but we're not going to do that. Just go back and listen to the episode. A lot of that is fairly evergreen, right? But like, look, without Drake London, I get it. Kadarius Hodge essentially plays the Drake London role when London is out, right?
Mm.
We know that. The fact that they went to Van Jefferson twice in that last drive. Van Jefferson, by the way, mind you, a guy who they traded for. Yeah, and that's right. No Pitts, no Bijan, bizarro world. Like in the final drive of the game, two high leverage targets going to Van Jefferson.
Yeah.
Like this loss was earned. This loss was deserved. This season has been an absolute unraveling of what Arthur Smith believes his system to be. Right? Like you just got pantsed by a team that started a quarterback who literally got out of a U-Haul truck 5 days ago.
Do you think that, I mean, this game probably on its own is not enough for there to be any changes in terms of scheme, in terms of the game plan,
no.
In terms of the personnel, right?
Nah, why would they change it? There's not...
What do we need to see? What do we need to see before either Arthur Smith loses his job or something else drastic happens? Because that
we need them to miss the playoffs. We need them to miss the playoffs, but we also need them to get humiliated, right? Because Arthur Blank is only going to withstand this much humiliation, right? Next week they play at the Cardinals, right?
Yeah.
So if they lose to the Cardinals and optimistically, please somehow let Kyler Murray be back. Come on, guy. I understand Call of Duty was I mean, I know the new Call of Duty just came out, so I understand you wanting to sit out Cleveland. I get it. All right. The team looked pathetic. All right.
Cleveland's tough. I wouldn't want to play against them either. I think you made
the right choice. Right. But the new Call of Duty's out on Friday. Come on, bro. Just do us a solid. Just roll out of bed on Sunday and just kick their asses.
Need this, Kyler. Do it for the fantasy. Do it for the fantasy players.
Do it for everyone who's under the height of 5'8".
Yeah.
That's how tall Kyler is. Kyler that short?
I think he's a little taller than that, but.
Are you sure? Kyler Murray, 5'4". No, I'm just kidding. He's 5'10".
5'10". All right.
5'10". But I mean, like, here's the schedule, right? At the Cardinals, home versus the Saints, at the Jets, versus home versus the Bucks, at the Panthers. They could potentially go 0-4 the next week, the next month, right?
Yeah.
I think that to me would start spurring some major issues, because we need them out of this soft NFC wildcard spot. We need them to actually lose it, because then there needs to be introspection about what is happening and this slavish devotion to a team, to a scheme that doesn't exist. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, what is the point? Anomalies makes a good point about the NFC South. I think if you see probably losses to the Saints in week 11, where is that? Week 12, rather. Yeah. They have a bye.
Yeah.
And then the Bucks 2 weeks later. I think if you see losses in those games, maybe that is a bigger deal. If they can't beat division rivals, maybe you see something happen. I mean, you know, I don't know. It's hard to imagine the front office is happy with the usage they're getting from the players that they spend so much on. So
from a draft capital perspective, because they're all kind of cost control and contracts.
Well, yeah, right? That's true. But draft capital, exactly.
Yeah, I'm sure there has to be some questions here, because Bijan was being used in the receiving game to move the game close, right? But then when you look at the final results of this final drive, it's bizarre, right? Like when you look at the final, my computer's lagging. The final four plays of the game: Tyler Heinicke pass short left to Jonnu Smith for 9 yards. Heinicke pass incomplete deep left to Cordarrelle Hodge. Heinicke pass short left to Bijan, ran out of bounds at ATL for 7 yards. Pass incomplete deep right, whatever, right? But prior to that, they were dialing up. Like here was, right? It was, the score was 24-21 before they gave, you know, before they scored like that go ahead touchdown. And then here's what they did before they gave up the go ahead touchdown. It's the score 24-21 Atlanta. They had a chance to score, second and 8. Tyler Heinicke passing a play deep right to Van Jefferson, passing a play short middle to Van Jefferson. Then they punt, Minnesota punts, Falcons score a touchdown, Vikings score a touchdown, and you know how that goes. They lose, right? Like, the thing is also, wait, what? This is a good question, actually, in the chat. Do you see, I wanted to put him on the show sheet, but don't know how to think of it. Do you see Aaron Jones' success continuing? So this is a very, very good question. So, we here at The Viz are actually Aaron Jones fans. Do we think his success is going to continue? The issue that I have, the thing that I like the most about Aaron Jones here, six targets, 4 for 26 receiving, right? He led the team in targets. Now, this isn't going to be all like the case all the time, but the Green Bay Packers are actually an interesting team in that, like, when they lead, they do actually pepper Aaron Jones with targets. Right. What I like the most about him is that he has that long playability. He hasn't shown it yet this season.
Right.
But he's got that. He had 20 carries for 73 yards and a score. Just keep in mind that the issue with Aaron Jones is that he could be scripted out fairly quickly. But I don't know how often, I don't know how that will play going forward, if that makes sense. Right. Like, I'm starting to get the feeling that, like, the Packers do think Jordan Love isn't the answer, outside of a handful of incredibly Homer media people who you'll find online who are so in the Jordan Love hole that it genuinely is. It's one thing to hold out hope. It's another thing to actively consider that a guy who shouldn't be part of your future is actually your future. It's like very Daniel Jones, Stockholm syndrome ask, if that makes sense.
Right. Yeah.
But I do think that, Aaron Jones' success is fairly contingent upon the kind of games they play. They've got a fairly soft schedule, at least at the Steelers, home versus the Chargers. So I do think he does well there. At the Lions, it's a toss-up. If the game goes off script, maybe we don't see much of him. Home versus the Chiefs. The Chiefs, as you mentioned today in your matchup column, Blair, they have a kind of a soft defensive front. We didn't, you know, at the Giants. So yeah, I do think Jones is kind of set up for a good stretch. This trade would, and then Josh brings up a good trade in a 16-teamer, trading away Logan Thomas and Noah Brown from Mark Andrews. I would 100% do that twice a day, three times on Sunday. Like, you're essentially moving away LT and Noah Brown, who are two good bit pieces for a guy who I really, really, really want in Mark Andrews on the stretch.
Yeah, selling right? high on Noah Brown after this week seems like the right move.
Yeah. Would you trade Patrick Mahomes for CJ Stroud and Cooper Kupp in a dynasty league? I have Josh Allen already. I don't think I'd be doing that. I don't think I want I don't think I want Cooper Kupp. I actually had an offer earlier, Cooper Kupp for JSN. I hate those type of trades because it does nothing for me. It's kind of meaningless. Like a wide receiver for wide receiver. Like, why do I want to get older at the position for Cooper Kupp, if that makes sense, right? Like, despite him being elite, like the team who's trying to trade him away, it's like ninth in the, it's a 14 team best ball league. I think he's ninth or 10th. Like, so why do I saying, like,
yeah, you're saying you wouldn't trade away Mahomes to get Stroud and Kupp. What would you have to get in addition to Stroud to trade away Mahomes?
Oh man, these are different. I hate these type of trades, right? Because they're quarterbacks who I consider in the same tier.
Yeah,
it's almost like a swap. So
yeah, you're getting younger, right? Though. You're getting younger at quarterback. So
right, but I don't. The issue is like, are you like, how young are you really getting? This is Patrick Mahomes we're talking about.
Right, at quarterback, right? It's a different kind of. It's a different calculus.
Very different calculus. Because
you don't expect these guys to, be dust by the time they're 27 or something.
Yeah, and I should talk a little bit about like my belief or like how I treat quarterback in. And Superflex is like, I just need a guy who I know is in Dynasty. I just need a guy I can plug in. I just need him to play 16 games. He needs to be the starter. He needs to not have a risk of losing his job, right? Because like, he doesn't necessarily need to be elite. Because you stumble into those guys always have big performances, right? So I don't know if I'd be trading him. Like, it's like the real value here is that quarterback for quarterback trade.
Yeah.
Right. But at the same time,
the other thing is, I think quarterback is probably, in a lot of ways, maybe the hardest position to kind of project from a dynasty standpoint, in the sense that, guys who we have pegged as looking really good end up either busting a lot or, I'm thinking of after Baker Mayfield's rookie season, we had him.
Oh, yeah.
A top five quarterback in Dynasty.
Yeah.
And obviously that didn't work out. And I think there are a lot of examples of that. I'm not saying CJ Stroud, could still bust from here. I mean, obviously he could. I'm not saying he's going to. But
there's inherently Mahomes is no risk, is what you're saying.
Right, he's like exactly, a risk. Exactly.
Like he's about as close to risk free as you're going to get there.
Yeah. The risk to take, you're taking on a lot of additional risk with a guy like Stroud, which is not a bad thing necessarily, but probably something you want to do more at positions that don't have the kind of longevity that quarterback does.
It is interesting to me. So this is me and my friends, this first year in Dynasty, and we did an auction draft and I totally messed it up. I way overpaid and my team is very mid. Don't worry about that, man. We got your cover. Just check out the RotoViz offseason content for Dynasty. I use most of my money on Mahomes, Josh Allen, and Bijan. That's fine. You have a core. It's not a big deal. Auctions are still the way to go, in my opinion. Like, don't sweat it too much. You paid the iron price. It's totally chill. You have two of the best guys. All you gotta do is address the rest of the position. It's not a big deal. Yeah, the cool thing about Dynasty is you've essentially sat. You've got your quarterback, so you can punt the position, if that makes sense. You don't need to worry too much about the rest of it. Like, now you're going to chase wide receiver. You don't even need to necessarily worry too much about running back either. You can just chase other wide receivers. Like, probably spend as much as you can on these in this upcoming rookie wide receiver class. Blair isn't in this, but there's a 14 team the 14-team dynasty league that I play in with Thomas Emmerich, where the rookie draft's actually an auction draft, and there's an additional layer where your rookie money rolls over, and it's just a mad dash scramble to try and get the elite talent. That's kind of where Thomas went all off the rails and picked up like QJ for as much as he did. You always find just like crazy stuff like that. Don't sweat that too much. I would genuinely not worry too much about Bijan. Like as far as his redraft value goes, it's concerning, just because Arthur Smith is just so frustrating. Like, if I said what I wanted to say about Arthur Smith right now on the on air, I think our show would be canceled. I think Cole might have a heart attack hearing us. And then also we'd probably get some very angry notices from the FCC. I feel like I should. So if you feel like you have two elite quarterbacks in Superflex, I touched on this earlier in Dynasty, don't worry about it. Like just treat the year like you know you need to rebuild the rest of your team. And that isn't too hard, right? Don't stress too much about trading out your QBs for another good piece like Stroud and another stud, if only because like I think their value is kind of negligible, or at least the changing value is like negligible, right? Like what makes a QB so valuable, I think, in Dynasty is that you get these elite guys who are signed for a very long time, and you just know they're going to be there because that means you don't have to address the position again, right? You can pick up a flyer QB3. Like I've got Tyler Heineke in a bunch of leagues in my QB3 in Superflex. It's not a big deal. Right?
Yeah.
It's not a big deal. You just have to start attacking your other positions more with your value. Don't worry too much about what this season does for you, because you don't need to necessarily make trades. These guys aren't going anywhere. Is how I want to think that you should at least treat your team. Just because I really don't like the idea of like trading away these guys who are essentially cornerstones of a team that you don't need to worry about addressing at all, right? Like it gives you a really big advantage, because now your only other positions you have to address are wide receiver and tight end. If this is an auction, well, hey, why not go all in on Marvin Harrison Jr. next year? What's stopping you from doing that? You know what I mean? And now all of a sudden you've got a phenomenal young wide receiver talent on your team, right? Like nothing is stopping you from doing that. I don't know, Blair, if you agree with that philosophy, but I've started approaching some of my dynasty leagues with that thought process, as opposed to trying to be good everywhere.
Yeah, you mean punting quarterback basically,
or if you're buying quarterback, punting the other positions, right? Because like basically what I'm saying is, with receiver in that case, I guess the way you treat receiver is you want to go super young. You want to get all the young, like Jamar Chase and Justin Jeffersons and the JS, like all these guys who we know are going to be getting second contracts, big, big, massive extensions. And then you're just sort of praying you can find quarterback production somewhere off the waiver wire, and then attacking that position heavily in the draft next year. But that's more of a theory piece, right?
I mean, the goal, of course, is to be good at every position, to have the elite guys at every position. And in Dynasty, that is possible to do, because you can get guys at really cheap values and they can break out the next year or something. So what you definitely want to be doing is loading up on breakout candidates, paying Mahomes prices for CJ Stroud probably isn't the best way to do that. But if you drafted Stroud, obviously, then you're doing pretty well. So, you know, and you know, I don't want to say that at the end of the day, it all comes down to just trying to get values, because that's not even right. It's more like trying to buy cheap upside. And that's,
that's what you need.
Easier said than done, but that's kind of the key, I think. And you don't necessarily have to pay a lot for it.
Yeah, that's kind of how you actually win a dynasty. It's like finding the undervalued guys. That's why, like, for lack of a better reason, I wound up with a lot of Levis this year, because he was so cheap.
Yeah,
he was so cheap. Like, he was going for nothing, and I just had a feeling that, you know, he was going to get some playing time. I didn't expect his first game for him to look as good as he did. And I didn't expect him to look as poor as he did in the second game. No one wanted to buy him off me for a first half of that first game. But, you know, a few more repeat performances and I might be able to get more than the Bryce Young one will. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you know, after this week, I think you could probably.
One of my league mates offered me David Montgomery for a first round pick for next year's draft, but I declined it because I thought that was a bad value. Okay, so David Montgomery, that was a horrible trade offer to you. And I'm really happy you declined it because, like, the guys you kind of want to be getting, like, so think of it this way, that trade offer that was made to you is like saying Jahmyr Gibbs for David Montgomery, which you would never, ever do.
Yeah, I mean, right? That's assuming you have an early first rounder, but even a late first rounder
this year was like Jordan Addison, Dalton Kincaid, Zay Flowers, Sam Laporta.
Right.
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 You would never be trading any of these guys for David Montgomery.
Yeah.
And that's the thing.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's some time value that you do have to factor into the equation in the sense that you can use Montgomery's points now versus, you know, a first round pick next year is probably a little bit less valuable just because it's next year. But still, you know, for I think in almost 100% of cases, you would not want to take Montgomery for a first round pick.
Would you trade Bijan and Andrews for Chase in redraft? I would not be doing that at all.
Because
Bijan and Andrews combined is going to be higher than Chase. And we know Andrews is capable of blow up games. We know Bijan is capable of blow up games. We can't predict these in advance. So I would not be doing that. Plus you're losing out on your RB and T. And the issue is the TE spot is what's killing me here.
Yeah, I don't necessarily think it's a good trade, but I do think there are legitimate questions about Robinson's upside
in this offense.
I mean, we've seen him have a couple 20-point games early in the season, but, you know, I do want to be realistic about what we can expect from him when he's splitting time with Algier, when the coaching staff is not putting him necessarily in the best position to succeed.
That's the frustrating part, but it almost feels retaliatory against like the pundit class, if that makes sense, right? Like initially Arthur Smith was rebelling against the fantasy football class. Now he's openly in revolt against his own beat reporters.
Yeah, so
it's a headache. I'm ready to give up on it. No, I wouldn't give up on it, man. Like, I've got Bijan in a bunch of places.
I want to get a little more for that combination of Bijan and Andrews than just Chase. Yeah. But I do certainly understand wanting to sell on Bijan in redraft, at least. In Dynasty, I'm holding him and even buying him. But in redraft, that can definitely be frustrating.
It's been frustrating because we've seen Arthur Smith pull this shit 2 weeks in a row, right? Yeah. And he's done it in the most frustrating effect. I mean, I really needed Bijan this week, man. Like, he gets me 6.9 points. Like, my other running backs, like Gibbs was on a bye. My other running backs are like Chuba, Daryl Henderson. Just a tough, tough scene for yours truly. But yeah, even then, I'm not giving up on him. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, there's just no way. Chase for Hubbard.
No, Chase and Hubbard for Bijan and Andrews, I think.
I have no interest in Jason Hubbard, man. Like, so the issue is you're going down from essentially one of the top two tight ends and one of the top five running backs to guys with incredibly spotty usage. So like Hubbard is a guy who got the start this week, but Miles Sanders worked in. Madison is just, even though he's locked in as a starter and has been for so long for the Vikings, he just hasn't been good. He hasn't been good at all. Like, he doesn't even have the receiving role that Rashad White does.
No,
like, you need more. I'll give you an example. Like, one of my friends just traded away Alvin Kamara for Jamar Chase. It's a really tough data point because I think my friend really destroyed this guy in a trade. But that's the kind of like level of running back you're thinking about for Jamar Chase. Because running backs are like flopping. I just don't think that there's many that you can really reliably plug in right now that offer you a high ceiling like Bijan, right? Whereas even though Jamar Chase is elite, there's other guys who just given the high fluctuations, you will probably be fine. I mean, like just pulling up the box score here as we kick off the third quarter, the leading receiver on this Bengals team right now is T. Higgins. Ja'Marr Chase has 5 targets. He's got 3 for 9 yards, and he had that one missed touchdown, right? So, like, the issue is you're getting a bigger positional advantage, in my opinion, with Mark Andrews on your team, right? Like, I can see a Bijan for Ja'Marr Chase swap. I can see that. I just don't like adding the Mark Andrews piece here. There,
yeah,
do you agree?
That makes sense. That makes sense. I mean, I don't think adding Hubbard or Madison to that really moves the needle that much for me. But we think about Bijan as being a top 5 running back because in terms of his talent, he probably is. In terms of his dynasty value, definitely. In terms of redraft value, I mean, he's currently the running back 18 on a per game basis in PPR scoring. So
could you pull up the list? I'm curious to see who's ahead of him.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. The issue with that is this goes down. It's not just the timeshare. It goes down to like this team's usage. The fact that this coach is just not using him in the green zone, despite drafting him where they took him. They didn't take a quarterback. They didn't take an O-line. They didn't take some of the more important positions than running back. They took Bijan Robinson. Yeah, Shane. Yeah, it's Shane. So he's back.
This Christian is McCaffrey. Per game yeah. Stuff, obviously. And so Achan.
I mean, but look at this, right? Like,
amazing.
Like Raheem Mostert comes in as like a 15th round hero. Kyren Williams, waiver wire hero in some leagues. Zach Moss, late round hero. David Montgomery has, has all those touchdowns. Saquon Barkley, well, he's locked and loaded.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, even if you look total, he's the RB12.
I mean, he's better, right?
Yeah, better.
RB12, right?
RB12.
This is like...
And you do expect...
And this is because he's not getting those green zone touches. But right. This is the issue, is like you're giving them all to Allgeier, who's not... If anything, Allgeier looks worse this year than he did last year, right? Through law of it feels weird, but like through law of transitive property, it almost looks, yeah.
You haven't seen the ceiling from Bijan
in the start. We did
in the start.
it's been a while.
21.2 he had, and then it's been a while. But even that, I mean, for a back as talented as we think he is, you would expect to see some 30-point games in there.
Yeah, but so, the issue here is like, we think he's talented. The Falcons think he's talented, but they're taking 5th overall. Yep. So what's Arthur Smith's problem? Right? Exactly. Like, we've seen him do this with Kyle Pitts, and then we've seen him do it with Drake London, right? So like, so either the whole world is wrong, or the Falcons who are drafting these guys are wrong, or Arthur Smith is wrong. And which one's the easy? Like, it's easy to single him out, right? It really is. And I don't feel bad. I don't feel bad for dogpiling on him. I don't. Because this team doesn't deserve its wins. It doesn't deserve these. It doesn't deserve its record. And I'm really hoping they get absolutely trounced. Because there's like, you don't get to play that Bill Belichickian arrogant, role until, like, unless it's earned, right? Like,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. And there's no evidence that this team is anything beyond this. Beyond the Titans. Like, I mean, they're not better than the Titans. Like, they got destroyed by the Titans. If they lose to the Saints, like, you're looking at a team that's just not there.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. Yeah, that's the thing. Bijan can't get in a rhythm, gets punished for fumbling. Yeah, that's the issue is, like, punishing an early draft capital, very talented running back for fumbling, right?
Yeah, so, I mean, you know... Nothing, I think, is going to change necessarily in terms of Bijan's usage this season unless we have a coaching change. So that does have me a little bit concerned that we won't really see his ceiling this year. I think that's a distinct possibility. So I don't...
That is...
Yeah, so I kind of understand...
I understand the fear
in redraft. A little apprehensive about rostering him, but his value.
That's the issue is that, like, he just said that his league mate doesn't want to just move Chase straight up, right?
Yeah,
and so
right.
This is where there's an incongruity because I don't think Bijan plus Mark Andrews equals Jamar Chase, right? Like, the issue is Mark Andrews is like the sick. If it was like Logan Thomas, Jake Ferguson, sure. Okay, not now, sure, why not, right? The issue is like, because Mark Andrews is another guy who's got a 50-point ceiling, right? Like, yeah. like Zay Flowers has taken some steps back. He really doesn't get that kind of usage. Today, we just saw Mark Andrews get all the work, right? Like, it shouldn't come as a surprise.
Yeah.
Like, when he is this team's Travis Kelce, right? Like, and we're seeing him used as such. He was drafted as such in the offseason. Like, this isn't a surprise.
Right. Yeah, I agree. Andrews in addition to Bijan is too much, but Bijan in addition to another lower, you know, a lower tight end, another piece that's not quite as valuable, I think makes a lot of sense. All right. Did we want to talk about anyone else? Oh, here's a good one. Jahan Dotson caught 4 of 8 targets for 69 right. yards and a touchdown. I mean, the question is, now that we've seen 2 Jahan Dotson games that have kind of been what we were hoping for, maybe not quite the ceiling we wanted, but we're seeing the targets. We finally
get there.
We're seeing the yards. The fantasy points are there. Are we kind of like, oh, remember all that stuff we said in week 6? Forget that.
I mean, I would like to think that some of what we said was what motivated the Commanders to actually do this.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Right? But, I mean, truthfully, Curtis Samuel was ruled out. We knew Dotson had a couple of issues with health. But realistically, what's happening here is that he's seen 26 targets mm-hmm. in the last 3 weeks, right?
Mm-hmm.
We said at the top of the show, and I'll reiterate, targets are the lifeblood of fantasy scoring. You know, my boy, Byron Pringle, had 4 targets, got 3 for 55, but that's not exactly, you know, repeatable. But like the fact that Jahan Dotson based the team in targets, and he got 4 for 69 and a score, like, this only says to me that, like, as long as the targets are there, his efficiency should only improve, right? He's fortunate in that he faced off last week against a very soft Eagles defense. I mean, look, like CeeDee Lamb carved them up like an early Thanksgiving turkey, right?
Yeah.
That game against the Giants was terrible. They lost to the Giants with 14-7. I think it was McLaurin who got all the usage. Dotson had 8 targets, got 5 for 43, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's just a matter of, like, target volume. And, like, I'm going to go back to an earlier game, actually. Let's look at the Bears. They lost 40-20 in this one. I'm curious to see where all the damage came from. That game, Dotson only had 5 targets. So Logan Thomas was on fire. Curtis Samuel had 7 targets that game, caught 6 for 65 and 1, right? So the fact that Curtis Samuel is out of the picture for a little bit is a big boon for his stock.
Yeah, that could be big. I mean, I think it's interesting. He does have a few games, you know, 7 in week 1, 9 targets in week 4, 8 targets last week, obviously. But this is actually the first game of the season in which he's had positive fantasy points over expectation, which is saying something. Because this is, you know, Dotson was, I think, the second most efficient wide receiver in the league last year. Pull this up. Yeah, right. So I don't know what to make of that exactly. Obviously, you know, different quarterback this year than he had most of last year, so maybe it's just about him and Howell kind of getting on the same page or something. But yeah, obviously this is a big jump up from what he's been doing, a big difference that's not necessarily explained by the targets, I think. So I don't know exactly what to make of it, but hopefully it's the start of a trend. And obviously this is last week. This is not this week, you know, the big.
Yeah. Also you're showing the fantasy points over expected. So you might want to switch that over to PPR scoring, right?
Yeah. That's what I'm talking about. PPR.
Yeah.
Fantasy points over expected.
Yeah. That's the thing, right? Like, the only reason is because when you look at the fantasy, the reason I said that was because when you look at the fantasy points over expected, and move it to PPR, you're seeing that, like, his poor scores track pretty closely with that, the lack of performance. And so can you flip back, right?
Oh yeah, to this. Yeah, right.
Yeah. So this is and this goes back to what why I was reading off all those different box scores is because yeah, there you go. That's probably better. Is because
this is his expected points, right?
Yeah. Like he just wasn't efficient. And because he was inefficient, they moved targets to Curtis Samuel and Logan Thomas and others who were efficient, right? Someone just discussed why Bryant Robinson as their RB2 in Dynasty. Look, he's probably going to be there. You just have to hold him. Like that's you're not going to get much out of him. You just have to hope that he gets when the Commanders play with a positive script. He's really good. He's like a script dependent back, but most running backs are. But he's one of the other ones. But just to go back to what I was saying about Dotson is when you look at that FBOE stuff, and then you look at his PPR performances, he was underperforming everything.
Right.
And he was underperforming, and they had other overperformers. And Brian Robinson was actually getting a lot of early targets because they were winning. Curtis Samuel, Logan Thomas, mm-hmm. all these guys, right? Like they didn't necessarily need to use him. Yeah. So going back to what we said, yeah, like we had a good reason to worry about this, right? He was inefficient with his target volume, which led to a reduction in workload. And only now has like the crowded receiver corps started thinning out. We're seeing him sort of ramp back up. And again, and part of it is just sort of progression to the mean in that he couldn't remain this bad for this long because we knew he was good.
That's true. And that also explains maybe a little bit why he has not been as good as he was last year, because last year was an outlier in a way.
He's off the charts, dude.
Certainly a lot of his efficiency last season came from touchdowns, and he hasn't been scoring many touchdowns this year. So that's one big difference.
So I guess let me ask you this question is Jahan Dotson, is he now like an every week starter? He is for us in FFPC because I mean, what else can we do?
I was debating today whether to start him over, I think, Romeo Doubs in one league.
Who do you go with?
I went with Dotson, and I think that was the right call, even though Dobbs, I believe, had a higher projection in a lot of sources.
The issue with like Dobbs
only had three targets, so
yeah, that. But that's this is the issue when they play with the lead, they just funnel it to Aaron Jones.
Right.
Like he led that team in targets.
I think going forward. Did he? Oh yeah, Aaron Jones. Did you mean? Yeah.
Yeah.
I think going forward, I'm comfortable slotting Dotson as an every week starter. I mean, he's getting the targets now, led the team in targets today, and he's picking up yards and scoring points. I think this is enough for me to say, okay, yeah, Dotson's back in the back in our good graces.
Circle of trust.
We can start him. Yeah. Exactly. Circle of trust.
It's tough, man.
Who would you start between Dotson and QJ?
Dotson. The issue is that like with Eckler back in the lineup, we know that guy's got like the apps, like he's got like the ability to vacuum up nine targets. Like, I mean, like that's the issue, right?
Right.
Dotson doesn't necessarily have that. I mean, Brian Robinson again leads a team when it comes down to like playing in positive script. You got Anthony Gibson in negative script.
Yeah. Keenan Allen is that way too, right? He's another guy who, you know, a 20 target game isn't that out of the norm. Whereas Washington doesn't have any players like that, really. Maybe Logan Thomas is like that, but
it depends on the same kind of targets. It's like if anything, Terry McLaurin is like the real fear here because he's like a guy who's easily worth every target you give him.
Yeah, but his targets are deep downfield, tend to be. Mm-hmm. He's not getting the same. Well, actually, they're probably using him differently this year. I shouldn't say that. I shouldn't say he's deep downfield guy.
No, but I mean, like, he plays a traditional X role, right? He is that talented, Terry F1. But that's the thing is that Dotson is a great running mate to him.
Right. 11 air yards per target, so not that deep. But you know, you don't see McLaurin getting 20 targets the way both Eckler and Keenan Allen sometimes do. So I do think that certainly there's more of a floor for Dotson to get the workload.
Yeah, I mean, like, and people have been saying this in the chat all night is like tomorrow starts the beginning of go time for QJ. I wouldn't necessarily say we need anything out of him. It depends on what version of the Jets shows up. Is it going to be like the one that pushes the Chargers? Because I think they could push the Chargers. But like, just going to pull up the Chargers schedule here.
Yeah, this is definitely not going to be an easy game for the Chargers, I think, to score a lot of points in the receiving game. The Jets, if they have any weakness on defense, I believe it's against running backs. So
yes, and they don't really let up that many yards at running back. So so a play that I kind of dabbled in was Eckler over 13.5 carries. But QJ against the Lions, right? So as long as they push there, they could make it against the Packers, against the Ravens, right? Like, these are games where you're hoping are going to be pace up. Right.
Yeah. It's not easy. I think all those teams are kind of tough matchups, even though they do kind of force, well, except for Green Bay, maybe they do kind of force opponents to play faster and pass more. So that's maybe a good sign. I don't know what, you know, on so many of my teams, I can't really afford to drop QJ at this point. So
no, we're kind of pot committed at this point, right?
This week was bad because of all the bye weeks, but with different guys, losing different guys to injuries and just not having other options available.
Oh yeah.
QJ becomes, you know, he's starting kind of by default on a lot of teams, unfortunately.
Yeah, if you're playing in a shallower league, he's probably on your waiver wire. But like, if you play in like the deeper leagues, he's no chance, right?
Yeah.
I mean, next week is going to be tough too, right? Chiefs are on bye, Rams are on bye, Finns are on bye, Eagles are on bye. Mm. Like, that's like three cornerstone offense. If you're playing, if you rostered any of these guys, you're probably like, all right, this is my L. right, and then following that, and the Falcons run by Colts, Patriots, Saints. We didn't touch on him, but it was nice to see Olave torch the Bears' soft secondary.
Mm-hmm.
If only he got them every week. And then Week 13 is your gargantuan Ravens, Bills, Bears, Raiders, Vikings, Giants. Right, like that's a massive bye week.
Yeah.
So I mean, God save everyone that week.
Playoff week.
Yeah. So I mean, we don't necessarily do this, but Blair, you and I are hoping for big games from Garrett Wilson and Breece Hall tomorrow. But we also would like to see QJ go off.
A game with a lot of scoring would be nice, because anything to kind of force the Jets to have to throw the ball to Wilson a lot, and also throw the ball to Breece Hall or give him the ball.
Yeah. I will say it is nice to see them try to simplify the offense for Zach Wilson. I think they've actually done a little bit better. Like, I don't know if it's just me. Oh, look, so I'm admittedly not a tape guy. I don't know if people who are trusted or knowledgeable about film have been posting about how Zach Wilson has gotten better. This is a team that did beat the Eagles. Garrett Wilson had 8 catches for 90 yards in that game. And then last week, we know he had 7 catches for 100 yards, right? So it is nice that Zach Wilson has just zoomed in on Garrett on GW as his only guy. And so I'm just hoping to keep this going. I'm hopeful that we get a good ceiling game.
Yeah. Could use a lot of points. I think there are at least 2 main events I'm in where I need 30 points from the combination of Wilson and Breece Hall, and I'm sure RotoViz listeners are not in too dissimilar of a situation on a lot of teams. So, yeah, hopefully we get those points. All right. Well, I think that will do it for us, unless there's anyone we missed. But, thanks, everyone, for hanging out. Good conversation, good comments. Really appreciate it, and be sure to subscribe and hit the like button and everything, and we will talk to you next week.